o'clock in the morning when you know they're sneaking downstairs to get in the fridge. Oh, my. If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn with me to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. We've been here for some time now, and you might be even thinking, man, this is turning into like a Wednesday night Bible study. Well, I'm glad you know what the Wednesday night Bible studies are like. Amen. But as we've been going through this sermon, we've climbed to a place in the Beatitudes where we must be approached by the pureness of the Holy Spirit to show us whether we are putting on those things which are pure or putting on those things which are not. As we round this corner of these truths and come closer to the finish line of the Beatitudes, may we take each one of these blessings and see to which one impacts our walk right now at this time of our lives. This morning we'll be looking at a message entitled, Blessed Are the Pure in Heart. Look at me at verse number 8. Jesus says here, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Dear Lord, I thank you, God, for this day. And Lord, I do thank you for your word. Lord, I do thank you so much for the pureness of it. Lord, I thank you for the sharpness of it. God, I thank you for the conviction of it. And Lord, today as we look at just a few words, God, I pray that these profound words will make a difference in our walk and in our talk. And Lord, help us in this race we call life. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessed are the pure in heart. Oh, it reminds you of a Southern saying, bless your heart, right? Kind of does. Bless your heart. Well, that's not exactly what that's talking about, okay? The meaning of bless your heart with Southern slang versus what the Bible is saying here, they kind of do have two different meanings. After all, we say bless your heart to those that aren't pure in heart. You know what I mean? They've got something going on. We're just like, bless your heart. You have to get to work quicker than me. All right. Bless your heart. It's just how it goes. Oh, man. I was at Publix the other day. I wish you all had Publix up here. I love my Publix down there in Stafford, all right. And there's even, I'm sorry, but you all driving from Woodbridge down to Stafford to go to Publix, y'all just need to say Publix, you need to build one up here, okay? Because y'all clogging that store up. But man, I was standing in line the other day and I had my daughter with me and we're having a good old conversation and there's a line for the express because there's just that many people there. All you Woodbridgers coming down there to shop, I guess. But it was a long line and I'm like, man, what's going on? This is the middle of the day. Isn't everybody supposed to be at work and in school? But I had to go in there and get a couple things real quick. And so I move over there to the express lane, you know. There's one guy in front of me. And it's his turn, you know. The guy says, all right, here's your register. And so he confidently walks on up to his register, you know, and he's checking on that. And I'm like, oh, good, I'm next. So I advance. And as I'm standing there and I'm advancing, getting ready to, you know, check out whatever it was I had. I don't even remember what I had at that time. I mean, something happened that made me totally forget even what I was shopping for today, you know. But anyway, it was our turn. The employee, you know, there was another register there. The employee, he right over, you know, made eye contact with me. You know, yep, that's yours right there. And boom, in comes this millennial and takes my spot. I looked over at my daughter and I said, bless their heart. That employee was just like, what did they just do? Yeah, a lot of us would say to that person, they weren't pure in heart. But what about me standing in line? How was my heart at that moment? Was my heart pure at that time too? You see, there's things in life to which we have certain run-ins, you know. And we get in a situation to where we are challenged to whether we will live in that moment with a pure heart. Jesus here, he had a bunch of followers, a bunch of disciples, and yeah, we're kind of early on in this sermon, all right, as he was, you know, opening up, you know, what he had to say, you know, to all those that were sitting there on this mountainside. And so we're still early on. It's not like chapter 7, you know, as he's still going on and on and on. But we're still pretty much early on in this thing. And so the people there would most likely still be attentive and paying attention to every word that Jesus had to say. And as Jesus is saying these words, I guarantee you there were people there, just as there are people all throughout this world, and maybe even here today, that might be challenged with this verse for at this moment, or maybe in an earlier moment of even today, you might not have been pure in heart, in your actions. You see, if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, my friend, there's nothing that can take your salvation from you. You're pure in heart before the Lord. Jesus, He's your advocate, and He advocates on your behalf there. And He tells the Father, that one's redeemed, washed in my blood. I know they messed up. I know they did. You Satan, yeah, I get it, okay? I know you're still accusing Him, but this one's redeemed. This one's covered in my blood. I still will forgive. Wow. Let's look at three different things today as we consider pure in heart. Do you consider yourself, number one, do you consider your purity by what others see? That's a good question to ask. Do you consider purity by what others see? Jesus, through this beatitude, as He's addressing this verse, it is a principle from even the Old Testament regarding the presentation of one's inner and outer man. Many thought of themselves to be pure because, you know, they kept the law, and so they did their ordinances, they did their religious duty, you know, and here they are, you know, at the mountainside listening to Jesus speak, and so therefore Jesus, well, some of them probably didn't believe in Jesus as the Son of God at this point, the Father has to look at them and say they're pure in heart because they're keeping the law. Romans 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Does it say there, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies to everyone else? We're supposed to be presenting ourselves before the Lord. So many times we look at ourselves, we look at our actions, we look at our motives, and we think that other people must be seeing us as someone who is good. That I must have finally arrived, you know? I'm pure, people see me, you know, I'm a Christian, you know, I've got the bumper sticker, you know, I've got all the stuff, you know, in my car there. I even sing Christian songs all throughout the day. So everybody has to know that I'm a Christian, right? Many may see, Pastor, we're to focus our attention on ourselves, right? That's what Romans 12, verse 1 says. Hang in there. So we're going to see verse 2 in just a moment. When we look just at the flesh, when we look at just our outer man, presenting ourselves before the Lord who is holy, can we truly even attend? Our flesh has done things to which we deserve an eternity separated from the Father. Our flesh has gone to places. Our flesh has touched certain things. Our flesh has said certain things. Our flesh has imagined vain things. Our flesh has done those things that the church of Corinth was saying, you know, we're good people. But Paul had to remind them, this list here, such were some of you before you knew Christ. But yet so many times we are so focused on our outer man before others that we forget God wants to change the inner man. So many are so focused about the outer man. That's what I used to think church was growing up when I was a kid. That was the only day of the week, Saturday night. That was the only time of the week that I was required to take a bath. You know, I didn't have to wear, you know, church pants. You know, I didn't have to wear a nice pressed shirt. I didn't have to wear a tie. I didn't have to wear a jacket, you know, Monday through Saturday. But Sunday, I have to dress my best. I mean, after all, it's Sunday where I have to hold the door for the ladies. The rest of the week, I just walk on through. It's on Sunday that I have to, you know, stand for this one, sing that song, you know, sit for that one, behave myself if I mess up. I'm telling you right now, Mama's going to smack me across the back of the head, and then I'm going to know later on we got a lot of problems going down. So So I have to be pure before everybody else that day. I have to be a precious little angel. But yet inside, I was a demon. I was a soul destined for hell. But so many think, even in churches today, scattered throughout all of this world, I have to present myself before others. And they might not say this, but they are saying it with their actions. But I don't have to worry about God. Wow. That puts a different perspective on things, doesn't it? Pastor's saying, we can come to church in flip-flops. I'm glad the kids aren't here, because then they'd be yelling at their parents, I don't have to take a bath on Saturday night, you know? They need that bath Saturday night, okay? Thank you very much for doing that. But so many times we get our focus so much on this. But God says, I want this. Do you consider purity by what others see? There was a religious group known as the Pharisees. And the Pharisees did a very good job at presenting themselves as religious keepers of the law before the people. But Jesus knew their heart. He called them whited walls and sepulchers. Outside they looked great. You go to a funeral home, it looks great, doesn't it? You're not going to go to the one that's all run down to do business with them, you know? You go to a funeral home to set everything in order. You want to make sure that the place is orderly, that everything's well kept and tidy. But man, if you went in there and you noticed the walls are all falling apart, if you noticed, man, they just don't, that casket's missing a lid over there, you know? I mean, what are they doing with that person over there? I mean, it just wouldn't look so well, would it? You wouldn't do business there at all. God says, I want to do business with you today. And it's not dealing with your external features. I want to deal with this today. I want to deal with your heart. That's what Jesus is telling these disciples here on that mountainside. As I believe he is telling them, yes, in seriousness, but I do believe that Jesus smiled too. I believe that he's telling them, as the purest vessel that could ever be presented before them. After all, that's what John said. He who cometh whose shoe latchets, I am not worthy to unloose. And Jesus is there. Prepare ye the way of the Lord today. Make your path straight. The next question I have for you today is this. Not only do you consider purity by what others see, but second of all today I'd like to ask, do you believe purity is of the heart? Do you honestly believe that purity is of the heart? How many of you all like mashed potatoes? Any of you all in here like mashed potatoes? I grew up on mashed potatoes. Man, I had mashed potatoes with just about every meal. But it was my job to go and get the potatoes from the big potato bin. We had a huge potato field, and so we had a huge bin in our cellar and all. And so we had them all spread out there. We had another place. But you get the point. I'd have to go down there and I'd have to pick out the potatoes. And as I'm looking through these potatoes and I put them in the bucket, you know, to bring them upstairs so mom can peel the potatoes or you know, sisters can peel the potato, whoever's going to peel them that day. One meal is just my job to go get them. But if they're peeling those potatoes and they say, ooh, what is that? This one here's got a black, like this is, it looks good on the outside. Any of y'all ever get them potatoes where they things look like they are just perfect? I mean, after all, you're looking through them like crazy at the store. And you get home and you start to peel that potato, and man, you got to throw half of it away. It's like, no wonder a million Irish migrated from Ireland over here to start over. The potato crops weren't doing good. They needed to better themselves. You know, so many times we might look so good on the outside, but we must consider where purity truly begins. And you might find that Hell's Angels, death riding, motorcycle, Harley riding, kind of roughneck out there. He might even have a sawed-off shotgun tucked beside his bag. Man, he might be the most tender man you ever met. because he might be one of God's children. Might be pure in heart. Huh. Yeah, I don't know what he's using that shotgun on, but, you know, whatever. Romans 12, verse 2 says this. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In Exodus, we find as well Moses in chapter 33, verse 20. God tells Moses this, that nobody in the flesh can see God because they are not at that time completely pure in heart. Even today, we cannot see God right now in the state that we're in. Why? Because, well, we still carry this baggage about us, don't we? Our heart might be right, but we might have some other things going on. Jesus says to the church at Laodicea, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He's not talking to unbelievers when he's saying that. He's talking to believers. They had to continue offering sacrifices. They had to continue to go to the tabernacle. They had to continue to keep the law. They had to continue. Every year, the high priest had to offer that sacrifice. But Jesus offered himself once so that we may be reconciled to the Father. And oh, I love the words of the Apostle Paul, that it's not only for the Jew, but it's also for the Gentile. Jesus did this not so that we can continue in sin, but Jesus did this so we may abound. Peter said this before the apostles and elders at a meeting in Jerusalem. He said, "In God which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as He did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." Where is your faith today, my friend? Is your faith in the Lord? Is it where it ought to be? Well, you might be saying, "Well, I don't know. I've got a lot of other things going on in life that are just, I just can't do that, Pastor. That's too much for me to put all my faith in Jesus." I can say it. I can sing that song as well. You know, faith is the victory. You know, I can sing that song and I can do all those things. But when it comes to actually putting it into action, I just want to keep a couple things in there. I'm not ready to let go just yet. I'm not telling you which sin you need to get rid of today, because as pastor, I don't think that's the right thing for me to do. But I will say this, if the Holy Ghost is telling you of something you need to get rid of, today is a great day to get rid of it. Because after you get rid of that, after you give it over to Jesus, oh my friend, you will find a lightness with inside of your heart that day. There will be a heaviness that's no longer present. It's almost like when you came to know the Lord once again. Because, man, God gave me the victory over this. The faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Oh, what a wonderful blessing to be pure in heart. I'm not going to beat you up. Not going to say you're wrong. What I will say is this. Allow God to examine your heart today. And let Him determine how pure your heart is. What type of purity is it anyway that you want? Number three. What type of purity do you want today? When you want something, it used to be a day we'd go to JCPenney or we'd go down to Sears or good old brick and mortar stores. You remember those days? I had a brand of pants that that was the only brand of pants that I liked. I was kind of OCD about certain things. I still am today. But anyway, I was rather particular. I have to have those Dockers with the pleats in the front and the rolled up cuff on the back. That's the type of pants I want. And yeah, I'll even tell you my waist size at the time. Man, I had to be a 30-30. Okay? That's what it had to be. It had to be a 30-30. I wouldn't go in with anything else. Has to be a 30-30. And even when I got the 30-30, guess what I would do? I would still go in the fitting room and try them on. How many of y'all love Amazon nowadays? You get to try on those clothes before you get them, right? And then if they don't fit or if the shoes just don't look at all what the picture looks like, you know, it's kind of like a real estate buy. You know, you look at the house on the website, it looks great, okay. And you go see it and you say, oh, no. But, you know, those shoes, they look like they were good on Amazon, but you got them. And, man, that things look like, I don't know what they look like. Ooh. I wouldn't even give them to anybody, you know. Send them back. Now you got the hassle of sending them back. And then you got to look it up again and you got to go throw all the, man, it's just a pain, isn't it? What type of purity, though, are you shopping for today? I'll tell you what God's shopping for today with you. He wants you to be pure in heart before Him. Because He says there's a blessing here if you are. What is it? You will see God. They shall. It's not a, they might see God. It's a, well, you know, if they continue in pure in heart. No, it just says they shall see God. Man, I love the security of the believer. I love that doctrine. And it is a true biblical doctrine. Once saved, always saved. Once you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you've accepted Him into your heart. He is now your God. He is a part of you. And you are likewise a part of Him, my friend. Like I already said in point number one, when the Father looks at you, He doesn't see someone who still is worthy to be cast into hell. No, all He sees is Jesus. The blood of Jesus covers you. It's the blood of Jesus that covers a multitude of sins. Wow. Do you want to walk through this life knowing that others see you as pure, but denying God the very salvation that He wants you so desperately to have? You might be lost here today. I'm so concerned about what others see. I'm not worried about what God sees. I mean, I'll worry about that when I'm on my deathbed. You cannot gamble with God. That's a lottery ticket you're not going to win on most of the time. It is very rare. And over 2 years of pastoring, and I've only had a handful of people say, Pastor, come and see me, I'm on my deathbed. And on that deathbed's where I lead them to the Lord. I can, out of over 20 years, I don't even have one handful. But I'll tell you right now, I've got over both hands and both feet multiplied over again with digits of times when I've done funerals for people where it was unexpected. You don't know what time you're going to leave this world. If God's telling you today to come to know Him as Savior, my friend, you cannot waste. You must get to the altar today. You must call upon Jesus and be saved. If you're doubting, I don't know whether or not I truly meant what I said when I was 6 years old. Oh, my friend, don't let the devil deceive you anymore. Take care of it today and know for sure when you leave this place, I am pure in heart. And I will see God one day. You don't have time to gamble with this. I had a dream the other day, and it was a quite the odd dream. Might be because of all the time I'm spending studying in this book. I was studying on the millennial reign of Christ, and I had a dream that it was there. It was that time. I was over in Jerusalem. I didn't see Jesus, okay, because that wouldn't happen in a dream anyway, I don't believe. But anyway, I was standing there and I was waiting. And I was waiting. There's one of my children. There's another one of my children. There's another one of my children. And I'm waiting. And I'm waiting. It was the worst dream I ever had. Because in that dream, one of my children didn't come. That is one of the hardest things. as a parent, as a father, or as a mother, as a husband, or as a wife. It is hard to know the very one to which you shared that chair with every single day, or that time at that dinner table every single day. It is hard to know they don't know Christ as Savior. It's the hardest thing ever. If you might be pure in heart today because you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, stop being a Calvinist and tell others around you about Him. Start telling your children about Jesus. Don't beat it into them. Feed it to them. Lovingly tell them, what would Jesus do? Lovingly tell them when they come and say, did you call me? It wasn't me. Maybe it's Jesus trying to get a hold of your heart today. However you can do it, share with them Jesus. However you can, tell them about Jesus. Whatever is possible, wherever you can take them, whatever you can do, share with them Jesus, because one day we will be there. But where are they? And I'll tell you, the best time to tell them about Jesus is when the Holy Spirit says, hey, tell them now. They're going to listen now. Tell them now. You ever had the Holy Spirit tell you, go and tell that person about Jesus? I've had that happen. I'm like, are you serious, Lord? Okay. I'm not an introvert. I'm an extrovert. So I could go and just talk about to anybody, you know? And all right. My Spanish is very broken, but I'll tell them about Jesus and His love as much as I can. What type of purity do you want today? Do you want to walk through this life knowing that you have faults, but one day you will bow the knee before the Lord, amen? Presented blameless, spotless, pure, holy. Oh, my friend, one who is truly pure in heart. The purity in heart. My friend, it may take a moment of self-examination today. Purity of heart, as you're continuing to think and shop around regarding that, may be a matter of self-identification. You don't know Jesus and you need to know Him today. Purity of heart, you're still in that same aisle. You're not out of it just yet. It's likewise a matter of eternal preservation. Purity in heart, where are you today? Purity of heart, oh, I pray that God will see that purity of heart there. Purity of heart, where are you today? Oh, if we could just have a Shakespearean play on that. The purity of heart. You're going to leave here today and you're going to mess up. I know it's going to happen. You know why I know that? I'm going to mess up too this week. It's going to happen. Don't beat yourself to death over it. Go to the altar. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, I messed up. It's not a matter of continuing asking God to save you. Were any of you all like that as children? I struggled with that as a child. I did. I really did. Man, I'd mess up and my mama, she would say to me, I guess you're just not saved. That's a hard thing to say to a child, by the way. It really is. And so I would go to my room and I'd be bawling and crying and carrying on. I'd be laying there in my bed at night and I would be so scared to death to close my eyes because I was worried. I messed up today. I'm going to go to hell. I'm so glad that doctrine's not in this book. As a child of God, if you mess up, guess what? you're forgiven. As a child of God, guess what? It's no longer remembered. As a child of God, you can have confidence. You can have boldness in this life regarding that promise. You shall see God. So we have this invitation today. I pray that there will be some decisions made. Whether it is salvation, you need to know the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior. You've been shopping around too long. It's time to get this right. Maybe you've got questions about salvation. You've been struggling regarding this. Because you did mess up and you always believed, if I mess up, well, I must not be saved. Come and talk to me during this invitation. Maybe today you just, okay, I've been keeping that there for a while. Lord, you've revealed it to me that I need to turn that over to you. I hear you at the door. Today, so this might be the time to say, okay, Lord, I open the door. It's time for you, God, to clean house. Purify my heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. As we stand for this invitation,